Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Victoria this Sunday. In a spirit of gratitude and respect, we acknowledge the Wasanich First Nations on whose traditional land we gather. My name is Samantha, and I'm honored to serve as your worship associate this morning. Here we are together as the salmon run begins to pass its peak. Frost has begun to light the rooftops in the early mornings. Black Friday madness has nearly waned. And the Christian radio station has switched to only Christmas carols. This month, we are exploring what it means to be a people of memory. And today, alongside Reverend Shauna, who will be speaking to the topic of the landscapes of our lives, we're honored to have artist in residence Maureen Grubin with us. Maureen is Inuvialik from Tuktoyaktuk in the Northwest Territories and has studied here at UVic along with a number of other good places. This morning we ask, how does the landscape of our home shape us? How can we honor the homes of others and especially Indigenous peoples? How can we remember who we are, where we are from, and how can we honor those who have been forcibly removed from the landscapes they called home? This morning and every morning, all are welcome here. You are welcome here if you feel deeply rooted in this land, another land, or no land. You are welcome if your family holds stories about landscapes that have been passed down for centuries, if some of those stories have been lost, forgotten, or if, like me, you don't feel that you have any stories in particular that connect you with the land. You are welcome here. I have several announcements to share today. I'll start with an update on our annual budget campaign. We've received 219 pledges totaling $312,007. This represents 95% of expected pledges and 93% of our goal. We're almost there. Let's give a round of applause. So please keep it up. We'll have a workshop from 12 to 1 this afternoon with Maureen Grubin in the Farmhouse Common Room. Child care is available for parents or guardians who want to participate. There will be a light lunch provided, but no drinks, so get your coffee beforehand. Who was here last Sunday? We've got some of these little patches. Oh, fantastic, lots of folks. So these little patches we had to decorate in whatever way inspired us with words or language about landscapes that touch us. And so if you're not able to make it to the workshop this afternoon, you can come leave your patches here on the altar, and we'll make sure they come over to the workshop. They're going to be assembled into a beautiful quilt. And if you didn't get one and want one, you can still do that. So even after today, we have the opportunity to continue to build on this piece that we're building together with, facilitated by Maureen. Okay, for children and grown-ups, some of you have heard, we have a bunch of new options for kids in the service. So the first 15 minutes, all the children and adults are together. There's this area at the front of the sanctuary where children can sit together. After the time for all ages, which Reverend Shauna will be leading today, children and youth are invited to go to programs in the children's wing, which is down the hall through the Lion Hall. If your child or youth prefers to stay with you here in the sanctuary, they're welcome to. We have a number of seats at the back of the sanctuary. Give a wave over there. With some quiet activities for the children as needed. And alternatively, if your child needs more room to wiggle and giggle and play but wants to be with you, we welcome you to our new Lion Lounge. This is a kid-friendly space in the Lion Hall with a playmat, snacks for the kids, and coffee for the adults, where everyone can watch the service on the television in a more relaxed atmosphere. after the service, everyone is invited for coffee and maybe time on the mats in the Lion Hall. Okay. And with that, I'll just ask that you make sure that any devices you have are turned to quiet, still mode. And I'll turn it over to Reverend Shauna for our opening words.
Good morning. All month, we have been exploring what it means to be a people of memory. And I challenged us a few weeks ago saying that actually I think we have become a people of collective amnesia. We have forgotten who we are, where we come from, who we come from. We have forgotten not only who we are, but whose we are. I remember one of my favorite mentors when I was studying for ministry used to pour libations to his ancestors before he ate a meal. And at first I thought that was an odd thing, to pour some beverage for your ancestors before you sat down to eat. But as I asked him to explore and explain what this meant to him and why he did it every single time he ate, it became more and more meaningful to me that this ritual meant I did not create myself. This meal didn't just happen. There were farmers, there were ancestors, there were people who made this moment possible. And in order to give thanks, I need to start with them. And so as we gather together, we think about our memories of those who came before us. We think about those we never knew who made our lives possible. And we think about what we wish to hand forward to the next generation. And so I'm going to invite Arrow and Luna to come up to light the chalice, because I think it's lovely to think about how memory leads to vision. How we have our memories that we hold with us, and then we have our visions and our hopes, our dreams for the future, for our children, for our grandchildren, for ourselves. And so as Arrow and Luna and their mother, Joshelle, light the chalice flame, I invite you to think of all those who have warmed your heart, all the flames and fires that you have gathered around, and the way that you carry the torch of your family. Blessed be. And now I'm going to invite you to rise in body or spirit. We're going to sing Comfort Me as our opening song. Aaron's going to play it through. We haven't sung it in a little while. And you don't actually need it. It's in the teal hymnal, but you don't need it. We're just singing a couple verses. We're singing Comfort Me. Then we're going to sing with Me. And then we're going to sing Dance with Me. And it's a very simple tune. Aaron's going to play it through, and just listen to it first, and then we'll join in singing together. invite any young people who are not already at the front to come forward if you would like. One of the things I like about that last hymn that we sang, sometimes I find that one just kind of creeps into my head. I'll be picking out produce and I'll be, comfort me. And I like that one in part because it says, comfort me, O my soul. And for some of us, we might picture that that comfort comes from somewhere inside of us. Like there's a part of our being that brings us comfort, that sings to us when we need a song, that dances with us when we need a dance. And sometimes some of us might picture that comfort or that song or that dance as coming from somewhere else, from a place or from another person or from a bigger source. So I invite you next time you sing that, wherever you are, to think about what comforts you, what sings to you, what dances with you. And this morning, it fits really well with what I wanted to talk to you all about, because we're going to be talking a lot about place, places that are important to us. And I was wondering if any of you had a favorite place that you would tell me about. Could be a place in your house that's your favorite place. Could be a place in Victoria that's your favorite place. Could be a place you visited that was a favorite place. Do you have a favorite place? Forrest does.
I love
it. Yeah, of course.
The Gorge is my favorite place.
The Gorge area speaks to you. The waters of the Gorge speak to Forrest. Did you have something? Yeah?
My bedroom.
Your bedroom. Yeah. It's a nice place. Did you decorate it the way you like? Yeah? Oh, Hayden, a place that has lots of turtles. So maybe Beacon Hill Park. Sometimes when I go there, there are lots of turtles all lined up on a log. Yeah. I like turtles, too. They kind of take their homes with them wherever they go. Maybe we could learn a little, feeling comfortable wherever we go, like a turtle. Yeah. Anybody else have a favorite place that they want to tell me about? No, you're thinking about it, but you don't want to share it with me right now. That's okay, too. Oh, Arrow has something. What's your favorite place?
Vashon Island.
He said Vashon Island is one of his favorite places. Nice. Well, it's important to think about places because today, with Maureen, our guest artist, who did a lot of artwork with you all last week, we're going to think about how places are not just beautiful places or comforting places that we can look at, but how places can speak to our spirits. They can speak to our souls, just like that first song we sang was about comforting our souls. So when you visit places, I invite you to think about not only how are they pretty and do they have turtles, but is there a way that they make me feel when I'm in that place? Because I find that sometimes there are places that really make me feel a certain way. So if I'm having a day where I feel scattered, I might need to go visit the turtles because it reminds me to take a deep breath and maybe calm down a little bit. Sometimes places help me do that better than just about anything else. So I invite you to think about how places impact you. So let's say our prayer together. I invite you to close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that. You could hold a hand or put a hand on a shoulder of the person next to you. I might take this opportunity to put a hand on a baby foot because I just can't resist. Spirit of life and of love, we give thanks for gorges and turtles and islands. We give thanks for our bedrooms and places where we feel safe and comfortable, places where we feel like we can fully be ourselves with all of our feelings. Spirit, we pray that everyone would feel at home in this world, that everyone would find a place that speaks to their hearts and their spirits this day and every day. For this, we give our thanks and we lift our prayer. Amen. Thank you for coming to talk to me. I look forward to seeing what you guys do next. So the adults are going to rise and embody your spirit and make the arches, and we're going to sing you on your way. don't get too comfortable because we're going to sing together again. But we have the wrong number in your order of service. So if you turn to in your gray hymnal to number 21, we're talking about the importance of place. And so we are going to sing our gratitude now for the beauty of the earth. 21, not 121, but just 21. Rise in body or spirit to sing for the beauty of the earth. Love that every time I sing that last hymn, I get to that line, the line about for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. And every time it catches me up because I know it to be true, but I forget it all the time. Over and around us has lain this love that we did nothing to earn or create. It just is. Which seems a fitting way for me to begin my brief comments for this morning, because I realize as I've been reflecting on being a person of memory, I've been reflecting a lot on how much I have to be grateful for. A number of years ago, I was struck by the fact that it seemed like there was this proliferation of books about the power of place. Maybe you noticed it, but it seemed to me there was author after author, novelists, sociologists, psychologists, talking about how place matters. How the places that we encounter and inhabit over time and over the course of our lifetimes shape us and impact us in ways we often take for granted. It matters, they seemed to say to me over and over again several years ago, where we place ourselves and how well we notice and pay attention to the impacts of our surroundings on our spirits. Some places are significant because of the role they have played in our lives. A childhood room or home, a neighborhood that we lived in during formative years, or a landscape that speaks to how we have viewed our lives. I remember once a friend spoke to me about a visit, almost like a pilgrimage they made to the desert, and how much the desert landscape spoke to them. They said to me, "Shauna, it was as if the desert was telling me, you want more simplicity in your life? You can do it." There are places that have been impactful and meaningful because of the physical beauty or majesty of the place. Perhaps they have evoked your humility or your wonder, even offered a salve for your spirit. And of course, all over this planet, there are human-made spaces that can touch us, where we can marvel and be moved by the vastness of the creativity inherent in the architecture or the art that some human beings long ago have brought into being. The places that we have placed ourselves over time matter. Where we spend our time, where we live our days, makes a difference. And so in my brief homily this morning, I just want to lift up two reflections on space from my own life. One about my hometown and one about this place that we share. I grew up in a small town of fewer than 6,000 people. It has many lovely spots, rolling hills, parks, and forests. However, when I think about my childhood, what is still in my bones about that place, what is part of me from that time, is the people that inhabited that landscape with me. My mother and I lived in a duplex, and the people on the other half of the building were like a surrogate family to me. I walked to school throughout my elementary school years with the same three guys, one of whose wedding I will go to officiate in February. And each winter holiday season, we would get together with neighborhood families that were friends of ours and walk door to door and into the local nursing home singing Christmas carols, while my friend's father played a rather raggedy trombone. And I remember returning to their home at the end of those caroling parties and putting as many tiny marshmallows in my hot chocolate as my mug would hold. That place, that small town in Pennsylvania, that sense of who I am and where my life unfolded has shaped me. That place has for me in it a sense embedded in it that is my very notion of what home is. A place where you are known, a place where you know who you are, in part because you see it reflected in the faces around you. A place where you can grow and change, a place that will remain with you long after you leave. I want to reflect then for a moment on this place that we now all call home. When Melora and I came here to interview for this job, and it feels like that was a long time ago, we came for a weekend. The search committee brought us here, and it seems to me that that 48 hours was a chance for us to envision. Can you imagine living your life here, in this place, surrounded by these people, with this place's beauty and its shortcomings, with all of the things that it brings? And of course, I was struck at that time by the natural beauty of Victoria. But after my initial thoughts about how nice it might be to live in such a pretty place, I realized that there was something more, something richer that might be here in living in this place for me. Natural beauty,
I realized as I looked out the window of the hotel we were in is more than just something that's nice to look at. Natural beauty is the kind of thing that allows you, as I said to the kids, on a day when you feel confused or despairing or unsure about the course of your life, you can go and commune with water. You can go and commune with a mountain in a way that just... Have you had one of those days? Your life feels muddled and confused and you just don't know what to do. And you go and you ask the mountain, what should I do? And that mountain looks at you like, honey, I've been here a really long time. And I am going to be here long after you are gone. There is nothing you can throw at me that I haven't already seen. And if I can withstand it, then honey, so can you. There is something that this place can do for you, can do for us all, can do with us, that is more than a pretty postcard picture of some pretty flowers or the ocean or the mountains. This is our home. And every time those mountains speak to me, every time the ocean speaks to me, every time the movement of the tides remind me that my life is changing just as ceaselessly, the more I want to care for the earth, the more I realize I've got work to do. And so as we enter this time when we think about landscapes that evoke that kind of reverence and awe, I invite you to think about how this landscape here, no matter what you're caught up in the day's headlines, no matter what you're caught up in your own life, can speak to you. Honey, I was here long before you got here, and I'll be here long after you're gone. If I can make it through, you can make it through.
Every Sunday, we like to extend an especially warm welcome to all of our visitors, newcomers, and those back after a long absence. At this time, if you feel comfortable doing so, we invite you to stand and introduce yourself. Please wait for the microphone to come to you, so that we can hear your name. If you'd rather not introduce yourself today, know that the right time to do so is when it feels right to you. Do we have any visitors today?
Hi, my name is Judy Barker, and I'm here visiting. I'm usually at Friendship Community Church right now, but I'm glad to be here, and it's lovely to see you all. Thank you very much.
And a special welcome from me, Judy.
Hello, I'm Sheena from Ottawa, and I've just moved to Victoria. I know, yay. But I miss the snow. I've got to get over that. I was watching the football last week and texting with my daughter because I was in shorts and there was snow all over the place. So just moved here, looking forward to meeting people. And is anyone watching the Grey Cup, and can I come watch it with you, please? Because I watch with my daughter, but she's back east.
Welcome, Sheena. And I can relate to missing the snow.
Hi, I'm Nina, and I don't know exactly what to consider myself in terms of if I'm, you know, back after an absence or what, but I'm late becoming because I was at a special place walking on the beach, and I'm hoping to talk to Aaron Little after at some point, and I don't know who that is. So if Aaron is here, rather than trying to wend my way through everybody, I was hoping I could find that out, but I guess he's not here. So. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Welcome, Mina. Thank you. After the service, please join us for coffee and tea, which will be served in the Lion Hall down the corridor. And if you'd like more information about our church or to sign up for our newsletter, please stop by the visitors' table here on my left, your right, where a church member will be happy to answer any questions that you might have. So this month, Share the Plate donations will go to RAVEN, which stands for Respecting Aboriginal Values and Environmental Needs. RAVEN raises legal defense funds to assist Indigenous peoples enforcing their rights and title to protect their traditional territories. You may have heard of their work with the Pull Together campaign, which raised money for legal battles against Kinder Morgan on behalf of several First Nations. RAVEN exists because without this funding, some First Nations would not have the resources to protect their interests from corporations and governments with deeper pockets. RAVEN hopes for a day when their vision of equitable access to justice is realized and their services are no longer needed, but until then, RAVEN is there to help level the playing field. Everything we raise for RAVEN this month will be eligible for matching funds from another donor, so please be generous. To find out more information about RAVEN, please see the social responsibility display in the hall. After the offering baskets have passed your row, anyone who feels moved to do so is invited to come to the chalice table to light a candle of hope and remembrance. So that no one has to reach across a flame, please light the candles from the back of the bowl to the front. To honor these acts, let us be in a spirit of mindfulness. The gifts of the congregation will now be most gratefully received.
Thank you.
Please join me now in the spirit of meditation and prayer, holding in our beings all that we have brought with us to this space this day. Holy Presence, known to us by many names. The ritual of candle lighting each week speaks to so much, to all the hopes that we carry within us, to all those we remember that we have lost. Each candle speaks to each person's life and all that they hold and contain this day. And we give thanks that we have a community that we can come together, knowing that our joys are magnified and that our sadnesses feel a little less heavy when others can help lift us up. And so now, into the moment of silence that follows, we think about all of the places, all of the landscapes that we have traversed in our lifetimes, and we give thanks for those places and those people that have made us who we are. A time of silent togetherness. For our lives and for the landscapes that have upheld us through it all, we give our thanks this day. Blessed be, and amen.
I am a visitor here. I was born in the foothills, and my grandmother of settler descent was a mountain. I wrote that before Shauna did the mountain speaking honey, but that's totally my grandma. My grandmother rose up for our family and taught me in her own way connection to the land. When we hiked through the Rockies together, she called me her little mountain goat, and we looked for elk in the Kootenai Plains, mountain sheep up the rocky slopes, and with my grandpa, fish and flat skipping rocks in the bright blue waters of Abraham Lake. My grandmother still comes to me every time I catch the smell of the sun on pines mixed with earth, remembering how we would collect the largest pine cones, paint them gold, and in the winter, arrange them into wreaths to sell at the Christmas markets. I also remember how we would visit the empty Sundance trees, sacred lodges that the Stoney people, the Ayahe Nakoda, built each year for gatherings of ceremony and prayer. Sundances were once prohibited, but as a child, I did not know that. I walked among the old year's lodges, their bright fabrics fading, feeling awe and mystery,
Last night I spoke to my mom about how I would share that, and she said, yeah, I remember visiting those, and I would get chills knowing the power of those places. If my ancestors are like mountains, maybe I'm more like an erratic. Like the erratic in Nose Hill Park, I often walked to as a teenager from my home in Calgary to sit alone and be. It turns out Nose Hill marks an ancient place for the Blackfoot Confederacy, a group of Four Nations who recently laid out a medicine wheel in stone to mark the land and pay respects to their ancestors. The erratic that I love to visit is an enormous boulder carried to a place near the foot of Nose Hill, left there long ago by a slow glacial current, standing silent amid the summer grasshoppers, and then waiting through winter for the first furry crocuses to arrive year after year. The hardy crocus of the Alberta prairies makes me think of my mother, about her resilience, and how she would drag us up to Nose Hill in the March cold to celebrate their bloom, the way here we might gather to witness the salmon. To me, each of these places is special. Each rock and tree and river can beckon me to be still. And at the same time, right now, there's one land that I anticipate will welcome my body back when I die. I am a grateful visitor here, and marked in my blood, my bones, and my memory is that land where the sunshine smells like pine and earth. If you would stand as willing and able and turn in your hymnals to hymn number 83, Winds Be Still.
Thank you all so much for the invitation to come and share my work with you. I would especially like to thank Shauna and Melora for intuitively reaching out to me and I'm very honored to be here to share my work. This little short video is about stitching my landscape. It's about sowing the ice. It's about memory, family, and healing. And I'm the needle. So with that, we'll watch the video.
Yeah, this is where I'm going to start, Mary. Thank you.
So that piece happened with a lot of help from my assistant, Kira Kordosky, who is here. She's also the writer of my work, and she's been my assistant for the last 4 years. And, of course, my husband for his ongoing support and his patience. And so that was extended over 1,000 feet. It was quite the endurance project, the biggest land piece that I've done so far. And for me, it was, it stemmed from the memory of my brother harvesting a seal at our fishing camp. And when he was pulling out the guts of the seal, it created this memory that it was embedded in my mind for so many years, that the stark, rich red on the expanse of ice and snow stayed with me. So that's where that piece came from. And it was about healing, because my father had just passed on 2 years ago. And it was very, very healing for me to be on the ice, to work with the ice. And the sound that you hear is the ice and the snow and the wind and my father's chisel, which has been slowed down to be reminiscent of a heartbeat. So that was all part of this piece. I just didn't want to introduce any other sounds but the sound of the land itself, the Arctic ice and snow. And I'd like to share with you some slides, some of the process pictures. Oh, yes. Okay. So, as I said, the memories stem from my brother. This is a very old picture. I think it was maybe 30 years ago. Of him cleaning the seal and preparing it for our meal. And then that's the result of that memory, is the stitching my land. And this piece was done on an expanse of ice that was originally an ice road. So that was the last year of our ice road in connecting us from Inuvik to Tuktoyaktuk. Before that, we were an isolated community, and the only time you can get to our community was on the ice road or in the summer with a boat, or you can fly in. But this year, on exactly a year ago in November, we have an all-weather access road. So now that we'll never have another ice road, so again, this was a very historic piece. And here I am with Kira taking the pictures, trying to find the perfect place to stitch the ice. And this is preparing the thread. So we got broadcloth, and I split it in half and rolled them into the balls. And then this was a time of meditation and prayer and acknowledging my father and remembering. And you can see that this was done on an old piece, on a section of the ice road that was blowing in. So every time we have a blizzard, they have to build a new road, because it's the ice or the snow turns into like cement. It's really, really hard. So it's easier to move 500 feet over and bulldoze a new road. And this is my mom and dad. They worked incredibly hard together, always working together. They both were very hardworking. And he started his company as a trapper. And one day when he was out on his dog team, he seen snowmobile tracks, and he goes, "Why can't I travel in comfort like that. So he, through his savings of chopping firs, he bought himself a snowmobile and then a pickup truck, or a bombardier, and then a pickup truck, and he just progressed from there. So, and he was very proud to say that he never borrowed a red cent from the government. It was all through all his own hard work and determination and effort. He drilled that into our mind. With determination and effort, you can accomplish many things. So my father only spoke English, and he went to residential school for 3 years. And then my mother was a traditional knowledge keeper, and she didn't speak any English. So they were a very good mix. They made a really, really good couple. So together they had over 145 grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. So they are, we have our own little village family. And this is a group of kids. The first one on the right side is my youngest son, Hunter, and they're sitting on a pressure ridge, and that happens every time when the moon is full and the ice heaves up and creates these cracks, and which we call pressure ridges. And those are the famous Pingos. That's my view from my kitchen window in Taktoyaktuk. And this is our community freezer. It's a tunnel that's built or dug about 30 feet down and then goes into these tunnels. And there's 17 rooms in the permafrost. And we store our meat and fish for the winter or all year. That's our natural freezers. And here we are harvesting a whole caribou. And we start very young. That's my niece at the very back there. She must be only about 5 years old, and she was the perfect dicer. She cut the perfect little cubes of stew. And here we are harvesting a whale, and that's me in the water collecting the intestines for an art piece that I would be doing later on. And there's so our community is situated on the Arctic Ocean, Beaufort Sea, and on a little peninsula that juts out into the ocean. And so all along the shore you can see these little shacks, and there are smokehouses. And that the black meat that you see hanging, that's the whale meat. And our land is very abundant. These are what we call ukbiks, or cloudberries, salmonberries. They go by many different names. So our land is, on a good year, it can be like this. And the Arctic cotton is everywhere. My husband took this picture of me. And this piece is called... this is not a Hudson's Bay blanket. And, so as you probably have heard, the Hudson's Bay blanket carried a lot of like smallpox and influenza. So I wanted to create a blanket that carried healing. And when you smell moose hide, it brings you home as an Indigenous person, no matter where you are. It's just that one whiff, your senses, it just brings you right back to the land. So this piece, I put a call out to my niece who lives in Fort Simpson and asked her if she can collect pieces from elders that have smoked their own moose hides. And I just wanted the scraps, not a whole moose hide. I said, just ask for the scraps. And I sewed this blanket with all the pieces that came to me, just as they were. I didn't change them in any way. So this is all the pieces. And this is now in a collection with the Indigenous Arts Acquisition Program. Government of Canada, that's easier. And you've seen the intestines that I was pulling out of the whale. This is called Consumed. And there's about 27 packets or little pockets of intestine that I put many different objects into and stitched it closed. So because of all the things we think that we need, and carry earbuds, they said, usually, here I am using a crazy glue, and you know, all these little things that we have around our surroundings. I'm sorry about these pictures. They don't seem as vibrant, or maybe it's too bright, but this piece is called Delta Trim, and it's from one of my mother's patterns from a parka. So it's just like 1 inch that's taken from her designs, and it's about 17 feet long. It's quite large. And that's, again, with moose hide, reflective tape, Velcro zip ties, and moose hide, and bubble wrap. And that's, I think that stems from my life here living in the South, just mixing the industrial pieces with the traditional. So you can, this is a better picture. This piece is a collection of polar bear bones that I have collected over the years walking along the beach, and I love beach combing. So I had this collection of bones, and last summer when Kira and I were, you know, walking through our community, we noticed that my brother James's shed was open. And so we went and, you know, made sure that we locked it up again, but in his shed was this one polar bear bone that was split in half and all the marrow part cleaned out. And I had all these polar bear bones, and I saw, and it was like, this is what I need to do. So yeah, Kira found that one bone sitting on the counter there. And then so I brought all my polar bear bones here to Victoria, and my husband split them with a bandsaw. Split them in half, and then I cleaned them all out, and we filled it, or I filled it with resin, and that's where this piece came from. And I arranged it like it took on many different forms, and this is how it ended up as a disc, as an entryway for my father. Used to, his church was nature, so he used to always say there's a supreme being. That's what his name was for, you know, God or the Great Spirit or Creator. And he said, you can feel it when you're out in nature. Like, you can almost speak to the Creator when you're out in nature. So that's why I left that opening. And that's the backside. This piece is called Guardian, and it's made of polar bear fur. Again, I seem to work a lot with our own materials from the Arctic. And that's made into a shawl. And that's, it's so hard to see because they're braided strands of polar bear fur in a vinyl, clear vinyl. And this one is called Message. It's, I wanted to allow the polar bear to speak for itself about climate change and the thinning ice and their, where they find themselves in this day. And just to raise that awareness, so I use the polar bear for fur to spell out a more SOS. Morse code. And again, that's quite a big long piece. And there's a close-up of that. And this one is called Survival. And that's 70 pieces. I forgot to mention about the children last Sunday. I'm just so amazed and so grateful for their patience, because what they did was way more difficult than the project that I gave to you adults. Because they had to stitch through sealskin with bead needles. And I just wasn't thinking about it, but anyways, I kind of threw I wanted to show them a beading stitch, but that got thrown out pretty quickly, and I just ended up letting them bead whatever they came up with. And it was the best thing, because they were way more beautiful and unique than anything I could have taught them. So they were just, I was so happy and grateful for their patience. So anyways, this is all the sealskin medallions left over from this project. That's what the children worked with last Sunday. And this was made in recognition of our ancestors for their ability to survive in the Arctic in one of the harshest climates on this planet. And this was my way of honoring their courage. I used the military ribbons because, like in Western society, that's how you recognize heroes, and you know, for their courage and bravery. And I thought, you know, the hunters that are the people before us, the Inuit, they hold those same qualities. They carry, you know, all those hero qualities that I thought should be recognized. And so these ribbons were got at command post downtown. They were just little scraps that, you know, he practically just gave them to me. It's like, you know, I don't know what he would do with them. So that's what I did with that. And, you know, the Purple Heart ribbon. And yeah, so that was the survival piece. Thank you so much for allowing me to share my work.
Looking at the time, I think we're going to skip the final hymn and just offer, let's just take a moment instead of singing to offer our gratitude for all of the things that, all of the people, for the place, for all that Maureen just lifted up. I'm still sitting with a lot of that, so let's just take a moment to absorb a little bit of that. Supreme Being, we give thanks. We give thanks for Maureen's ancestors. We give thanks for the Arctic and its singular beauty. We give thanks for the messages that we can receive if we would but listen to mountains, to ice, to polar bears. May we do our part to lift up the beautiful fabric of our earth and all of those who inhabit it. May we do our part to keep this earth surviving. May we do our part to be grateful and gracious beings on this planet, coexisting and thriving with all other beings. So may it be, and amen.
Please rise as you are willing and able in our farewell song. Hold hands if you wish. Carry the blame. The words are in your order.